Hi, this is Elaine. Welcome to Aging into Joy by Living from the Inside Out. Today I'm doing something different. I'm doing an interview with my one and only sister, my best friend. Her first name is Cynthia, and I'll let her introduce herself to you.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Wright, and I am Elaine's younger sister. I'm retired from U.S. Steel after 48 years. I have two children and three grandchildren.
Thanks, sis. I'm wondering, I have never stayed anywhere for 48 years. What is that like? What is that like to be committed to a company and have that kind of longevity?
For me, it's been wonderful. There were times at the beginning when I was a single parent, and Great Lakes Steel actually raised me, because I started at 19.
Wow.
And they raised my kids. So I'm eternally grateful for that. I've had wonderful bosses. I've had wonderful coworkers. And it was just a great experience for me.
Did you have different positions in those 48 years, or did you have a specific position with changing bosses?
When I first started out, I worked in what is called the order entry department, where you wrote up the orders for steel. And then in the 70s, I got the position of secretary to the general manager. And the position stayed the same, although it had different titles, but the bosses changed, and some of them quite frequently. You just never knew what was going to happen. You know, you just got comfortable and could read what the boss wanted before he knew what he wanted, and then they change him. So that was sort of frustrating, in my opinion.
Yeah, the old unpredictable.
Yes.
Yeah. My sister's being very humble about her position, but she was the executive assistant.
Depended on the boss in the company, because we started out National Steel, but then National Steel bellied up and U.S. Steel bought us. So it depended on who was making the titles, to be honest with you. I've been called executive, I've been called a secretary, I've been called an assistant. It's, again, it just depends on who was making the titles, what HR person was, what mood they were in.
Well, as I recall, you kind of steered the ship over there, and I know you're not one to, you know, kind of expound on your successes and things like that, but you were a really successful in your professional career. When you retired after 48 years, that's a long time. How did those first 6 months feel to you? Do you remember?
I felt lost.
Okay.
I seemed to have lost the structure that was myself, because there was, I don't want to say nothing to do, there was plenty to do, but there were all kinds of days to do it, so I just kept putting it off. I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, and tomorrow came and I never did it.
Mm.
So it wasn't as structured as it was when I was working, because I knew I only had X number of time to do what I needed to do.
Right. You make a really excellent point of how used to being structured we are, especially as employees. And for some people, they can put structure into their lives, even if they're not at work. But for others, we've gotten so used to it. And after 48 years of being a certain schedule, a certain time to wake up, you know, a certain responsibilities when you came home from work, and then there's
nothing. It's like, okay, now what do I do?
So how did you get through that phase?
Well, believe it or not, I did maintain my friendship with a lot of the people at work, and we go out normally once a month, even to this day. But it was just a matter of coming up with a new schedule for yourself.
Right.
I don't know that I completely got it down, but it's certainly better than it was.
Okay, good enough. So when you look back over the years, it seems to me like where you worked and how you were admired for what you did and how important you were to the operations was a great way to feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to me that way anyhow, that a lot of my work helps me define a sense of who I am, because we gain certain competencies, you know, along the way. And then when there is no work in the traditional sense, we have to kind of build new competencies.
Yes, we do, because we feel lost, or at least I did initially.
Well, I think you're not alone with that. And I have always said that we need to, when we retire, we need to retire to something,
mm-hmm.
and not just from something.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so let's talk a little bit about your aging journey, you know?
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
It is a journey, that's for sure. You know, I'm blessed to be on this journey. I know many people who didn't make it out of their 30s, actually. So I'm fortunate in that respect. And every day is just a new adventure. You wake up and you say, oh my God, what is this that I've come up with on my body? And then I wonder, which DNA parent, you know, supplied this little thing on my ankle or thigh or wherever it is. But it's given me more time with the grandkids, especially Amy's two. I see them obviously more because Sally lives so far away. But it's given me more time for them. It's relaxed me somewhat. I've gotten a little more patient, and as we all know, I've never been a patient person. So I mean, it has definitely had its advantages. Disadvantages, I think, are getting forgetful sometimes, as we all do, not able to do the things we used to do with the strength and stamina that we used to have, or I used to have. I'll speak for myself. And I find that very frustrating. You know, I'm doing a bathroom, I want to paint, and it's like, okay, now get the ladder, and then I think, no, maybe not. So it's just not able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That is an issue for me.
And I think that is truly an issue for anyone in the 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s, is that internally, we can still feel like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel really much different than internally than I did when I was 50.
Correct.
But I cannot do all the things that I did when I was 50. And that's like a huge accommodation we have to make. I do want to go back and just mention, when you talked about your grandchildren, to me, you know, observing you over the years, that has been one of the highlights of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, when you retired, that to me was something that you took on, both for them and for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's been a rich experience for you. And I just want to tell you how much I admire what your relationship is like.
I've loved every second of them. It's like reliving your kids, but better. Because I've found, even Michael especially says to me, you would never have let us get away with that as, you know, our parent. And I think about it and I chuckle because it's true. You know, some things you find as you get older that they weren't as important as you thought they were.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big statement some things as you get older aren't as important as you thought they were. I could probably eliminate about 70% of my life experiences that I thought were super important and actually were not at all in retrospect.
It's amazing. But at the time,
It's like, oh my God, you know, your kid's going to end up on Skid Row or someplace if you don't do what you feel you need to do. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, nope, not a big deal.
When you think in terms of now versus, you know, when you were an active parent raising your kids and looking back over the years, how much has life changed in your perspective?
Other than letting go of things, I'm not sure it has, to be honest with you.
Can you speak more to that?
I go back to patience because I didn't have patience back then. So that's better. You just realize it isn't worth the struggle, the anguish, the anger that sometimes comes. You just let it go.
Right. I think that's really important, not just a comment, but it can be heard as advice too, is distinguishing and discerning what really matters. Mm-hmm. And I think today we're a little bit more clear on how we want our children to grow in the sense of who they are, mm-hmm. not who we want them to be.
Correct.
And
we get a little bit of wisdom.
Right. So can you comment on the wisdom?
Well, again, I think it reverts back to realizing in our older age, as an observer of our children, that it just wasn't as important as we thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, part of it comes from generational themes that have been passed down. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, our parents had a really rough childhood. And to some degree, they were survivors. And we survived their harsh backgrounds, and life was really about making a success of yourself, being able to depend and keep yourself independent.
Right. Yay for us.
One of the things you often say to me is how black and white your view can be.
Yes.
Absolutely. I still don't have a good grasp on going gray. It's either white or it's black. I mean, there is just no in between. And I've always been that way.
And has that worked for you?
I'm going to go with yes. I think I'm just the personality. I need to be that way.
Yeah, good. This is wonderful. It's great to be able to have this moment with you. What years do you feel stood out for you in terms of your being your best self?
I think my 50s I liked the best. And one of the reasons was my oldest grandson, Jordan. When he was 3, he and I started doing grandson trips. Nothing special, but we bonded for a weekend, and as he got a little older, we bonded for a little longer than a weekend. We had mom living with us, and she was always fun to have around, and I'd come home sometimes from work, and if you were traveling, she would say to me, "Guess who called me today?" So, of course, I'm going to play her game, and I'd say to her, "Who?" And she would say, "Elaine." And I would say, "Yeah, what'd she want?" And she would say, "Guess where she's going?" And I would say, "Where?" And she would say, "Atlanta or Boston or somewhere." And when you came back from your trip, You were nowhere near any of the places she told me you were.
She was definitely fun and funny.
Yes, she was.
And the thing I remember about our mom is how appreciative she was of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, even the smallest thing mattered to her. And so, you know, as she aged, she was a good role model.
Yes.
For us, because she didn't seem to be intimidated by getting older. And, you know, I think the best years of her life, this is just my perception, were her last 15 years. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I would go with maybe somewhere between 5 and 10, only because I think once Dad passed, Mom had her diabetes kick into where she was considered legally blind. Mm. So she had issues, you know, with that. And I think that scared her to the point of not feeling comfortable. And when she came in with Don and I think she felt much better. You were taking her on trips that she loved to go on. And I always remember you telling me when you took her to the Badlands, you would just drive up and down the street and she would think it was a new venture, you know. It wasn't the same spot she kept looking at, but unfortunately that was because of her eyesight.
Right, right. That was a really special trip to the Badlands with her, because there's a highway that kind of is a half circle, and we would just, you know, drive 30 miles in one direction, and she would just love everything she could possibly see despite her macular degeneration. And then I would turn the car around, we'd come back the other way, and she was just as in awe.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I think when you go in two different directions over the same environment, over the same land, it does look different. Mm-hmm. From different perspectives. But that was just a peak moment for me with her.
Yeah.
So,
and for her also, but she, it didn't matter where you took her, as long as you took her somewhere. You could take her for a ride and buy her a butter pecan ice cream cone, and she was a happy camper.
That's right. That's right. Those are good memories. And so that's one thing I think that helps the aging process and keeps us from growing old and instead becoming an elder, you know, with good memories, also acknowledging the things that didn't work out for us, the
right.
things that were really hard. But it's a combination of both the good, the bad, and the ugly that has contributed to our wisdom, and she showed us that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in particular. So before we close today, Sis, do you have any advice that you'd like to share with our audience?
I think the only advice I would give that I try and use for myself is to be grateful for every day. Maintain your health as much as possible. Keep your mind sharp and keep on trucking.
Excellent advice. I especially love the gratitude that we, if we are conscious and really aware of how gratitude, for me, is at least the first cousin to joy.
Mm-hmm.
That if I can find something to be grateful for, I am offering myself an opportunity to experience joy, despite how the day goes. And I think keeping your health the best that we can is super important. And let's all keep on trucking.
Exactly. Take deep breaths.
Take deep breaths, keep on trucking. I want to thank my sister for this wonderful opportunity to kind of reflect and share with each other our aging journey. And I wish you a wonderful day. I wish you a good week, and talk to you soon. Bye.
What? Well, what?